Hi everyone, I'm Jerry Bunkowski and welcome to the latest episode of The Racing Beat right here on the Believe Podcast Network. This week's guest, veteran race car driver Max Pappas. We talk a little bit about Max's career, what he's doing these days, and also his very unique relationship with NASCAR Cup driver William Byron. Max, obviously very pivotal in Joey Logano winning his first Cup championship a few years back, and now he's kind of doing the same with William Byron and fully believes that William will indeed win a Cup championship soon. So without further ado, let's tune into this week's episode of The Racing Beat with our guest, Max Pappas. Welcome back to The Racing Beat, and it's my distinct honor to welcome in this week's guest, Max Pappas. I mean, everyone knows who Max is. Great race car driver, a great businessman, entrepreneur. Max, thank you ever so much for joining us here on The Racing Beat. And I have so many questions to ask you because you've been such a renaissance guy. I mean, you've done so many things in your career. But so I guess the easiest part or the easiest way to start the interview off is, What you are involved in business. You have, you're a company that does steering wheels and other products. You obviously racing has been a big part of your life. Tell me about what's keeping you busy these days. Is it more the business end? I mean, are you still trying to get do some racing as well? I mean, what's keeping you busy these days?
First of all, Jared, good to be here with you guys. I'm super busy with few different things, with the ownership of MPI, it's with all the running of the company. Plus, I'm the IndyCar steward, right. I've done that for the last 5-6 years, and I'm the performance advisor for the Car 24 for William Byron in NASCAR. So a lot of things happening, besides, with the main focus of being the owner and operator of MPI.
So, you're talking about MPI and, how did you get into the business end of things? I mean, obviously you're known for your racing exploits, but how did you wind up getting into the business and exploits that you're involved in these days and it's keeping you so busy?
MPI was born through necessity. I was racing in NASCAR and there was a very antiquated steering wheel getting used. Mm-hmm. I was involved in a wreck in Kentucky and hurt one of my wrists. From there, we sparked the decision of starting and looking at the product, at the steering wheel in itself. And I had a lot of experience before because I've been sponsored and I've been involved in the steering wheel business back when I raced in Formula One. And I was actually sponsored by two of the major steering wheel manufacturers in the world. Mm-hmm. So it was not something new to me. And it started as a necessity. We started building a few steering wheel for me, Jimmy Johnson, and Dale Jr. And it grew from there to what the company is now.
Now, I understand you also have some kind of a connection with the Pope. Not every driver can say that. I mean, I guess, tell me about that connection.
No, I don't have a personal connection with the Pope, at all. But the connection between MPI and the Vatican is the fact that the vendor that does all the embroidery for MPI has been doing all the vests and the hats of the popes in the last, 2 or 3 generations. So it's someone that has these two things in common. It's amazing that these things happen, and it's just an amazing coincidence and great combination.
You're such a renaissance guy. Like I said earlier, you've done so many things. How does Max Pappas describe Max Pappas? Race car driver, entrepreneur, businessman. What is the label that you would best call yourself? What makes you, so to speak?
I usually let other people define who I am.
Okay.
I'm a hardworking person, and I have a pretty humble background. We come from a small village in Italy, and every opportunity that I have in front of me, I'm making the best out of it. If I feel that. I'm pursuing it with every single effort we can. So
exactly, right.
That is. I always, I, I always say, like, you know, you gotta, when you're around me, you gotta learn which hat I'm wearing. You know, sometimes I'm wearing the father's hat, sometimes I'm wearing the owner of MPI hat, sometimes I'm wearing the hat of IndyCar steward. Mm-hmm. So a lot of different opportunities here.
MPI's motto, and this is a great motto, is driven by safety, defined by style. That pretty much says everything about not just the company, but, you know, just who you are as well, too. I mean, how did you come up with that motto? I mean, that's just a great motto.
It's basically who we are, as you just said. You know, it's you know, there are a lot of companies and people that try to make stuff up. You know, for us, you know, that's exactly who it defines the company, defines who we are. And it was not very complicated because it's embedded in the root of myself and what MPI is.
You've based your company so much on the steering wheel aspect and other products as well. What's on the horizon for you on the company in terms of other products? I mean, are you in development of other things that you want to expand MPI's reach or not?
I mean, obviously, there is still a lot to grow within the steering wheel business. You know, we started it, you know, we're a relatively young company, about 9 years old, and we are continuously developing that, you know, in racing and non-in racing. You know, if you see MPI and Devia right now, we are in the marine industry as the official supplier for Mastercraft. Mm-hmm. We are in the side-by-side business. And obviously in every form of racing, you know, from quarter midget to IndyCar to NASCAR to dirt racing to drag racing. It's my belief that you got to do first one things right.
Right.
And before expanding. There are a couple of things that we are adding to the line that is taking our steering wheel into the simulation side. You know, where we already have some unit already available for simulation. And I've been really focused on creating new and advanced quick releases for our steering wheel. Mm-hmm. You know, where, you know, that's an area that the quick disconnect, it's an area that can be improved. And it's something that really interests me. And again, simulation, you know, steering wheel for simulator and seats. You know, those are the two things that we are working at the moment, besides the steering wheel. But our number one focus, and how MPI will always be defined, is a steering wheel company.
Gotcha. Let's move back into Max Pappas, the race car driver. You're over your career and that kind of thing. One of the things I find very interesting about you now is you're also involved in coaching. And a lot of, you know, great drivers out there have had great coaches, you know, tell them how to become better drivers. You're doing that on the NASCAR side, and I think you've done some other coaching as well. How humbling is it for you? How invigorating is it for you to be a coach for certain drivers, you know, and teaching them the nuances? Maybe they don't know certain things, or you can, you know, share some of your experiences that you've had in your career to make them better race car drivers.
That's a good point. You know, like I don't call myself coach. You know, I am a performance advisor, and I only do it for William Byron. You know, so it's something that I've done it in the past, you know, and I work with Joe Logano. I work with Austin Dillon in the past. Mm-hmm. But it's not what I call it a job. It's more my project that I have with William Byron. I met William when he was about 17 years old, grew with, you know, helped him to grow within his God gift and his great ability. And the amazing things is that, as I always say, the reason why I don't like it, and I don't really like the word coach, is because you can't really teach speed. Mm-hmm. Speed comes from God. What you do, you can advise a driver on how to better approach certain situation, how to grow, but the pure speed, it's something that is natural. You know, it's something inside of you. So I like the word performance advisor because that really is comprehensive. So you make someone that is already great, you know, becoming excellent.
Right.
And you kind of add, you know, what I do, I add my 30 years experience to the 22 years old experience of William to make him better every day. That's exactly, and the satisfaction is tremendous because obviously, you know, it's something that it would have been difficult to be done for other people because, again, it's a unique relationship that I have for with William Byron. We have it for a long time, for over 6 years, and it's a project that I have, and you know, we're getting close. The project will be will come to a possible conclusion when William will win his cup championship, and I don't think we're that far.
Would you envision yourself being a performance advisor to other drivers in the future at all? After, you know, I mean, once, like you're saying, with William, if and when William does win a championship, that would kind of conclude the situation you have with him. I mean, would you consider being an advisor to other drivers in the future at all?
I mean, I never say no. You know, obviously it has to be some, you know, special circumstances, you know, like, cause you got to work with people that they have, they want to want it more than you want it, or as much as you want it. So I never say no. You know, it's a pretty unique things that happened with William. It was unique what happened with as well with Joe Logano in the beginning. It might happen that in the future you can find another, you know, motivation, another person. But let's see what the future holds.
Exactly. You've been involved in so many different racing series in your career: F1, Champ Car, IndyCar, NASCAR, Stadium Super Trucks. Your versatility, I think, has been one of the biggest things that mark you as a driver. You know, you can do pretty much any series. Can you talk about how you've been able to be so versatile across all kinds of different platforms of motorsports? What is it about you, your talent, your experience that you've been able to succeed in all those different realms?
I believe that a race car driver should drive anything, anywhere, anytime. Mm-hmm. Some time for me was for situational. Things happen, and I found myself, going from one series to another. Other times was just adaptability. I know that being able to perform like in life, you know, different things. And being in have a great adaptability, it's a gift that that I like to nurture, and that's why you see me doing what I'm doing right now. Nothing scares me, or it's always a challenge. And obviously, you know, the challenges now we have, you know, with being with running a business like MPI and working, you know, performance advisor of William and the IndyCar stewarding, it keeps my plate super full.
You know, looking at you, I mean, you look in fantastic shape. You're 51 years old. Do you ever get that desire to want to get back behind the wheel and get in some racing?
No, first of all, I'm not retired.
You know, okay, so, all right. Tell me about that then.
Yeah, that's absolutely clear. You know, I'm not retired, and I always had talks about running the Daytona 24 hours, Sebring 12 hour, maybe running some more NASCAR races on road courses. Obviously, I don't call racing my job anymore, you know, because, you know, it's not in terms of like competing, but racing in itself is my job, is my profession. So to answer your question, I am available yesterday.
Well, that kind of leads me to my next question, because I understand you have an affiliation with this new Superstar Racing experience. Have you guys talked about maybe you getting behind the wheel and getting in some of those races? I mean, I've talked to Ray Evernham quite a bit. Tony Stewart, I know, is a good friend of yours. Any thoughts about getting involved in that at all?
I mean, I obviously talked to Ray about having putting me part of the SRX. I know that this year was not one, but I wouldn't be surprised, you know, like if I would be in one of them next year. You know, I want to do it. I love it. IROC was one of the highlights of my career, and SRX, they resurrected IROC. They've been doing a tremendous job with it. So I would love to be part of it.
Okay. This is maybe a difficult question to answer, but of all the series you've raced in over the years, what's been the most challenging series for you? I mean, I hate to use the word the hardest series, but what was the one that gave you the biggest challenge behind the wheel? You know, was it F1? Was it kart? Was it IndyCar? Was it Super Trucks, NASCAR? What series was, you know?
That's actually a very good question, okay. You know, because what I learned through my career is that what I really liked about racing is the competition, mm-hmm. is not what I raced. I get asked this question quite a bit on what did you like the best? What was the most difficult things? And it was all about who I competed with, mm-hmm. if not the series. So I can bring back some tremendous memory from competing in karting when I was 17, 18. So again, you know, it's to me, what drives me is competition. Every series I've been involved has been very unique on that. The one that was definitely most difficult to adapt was definitely NASCAR, because it was the furthest away from my natural instinct.
And how did you adapt to it? What did you go through to essentially learn the ropes in NASCAR, so to speak?
But first of all, there was absolutely no data, no number to look when I competed. That made it extremely difficult. Mm-hmm. And the fact that it's a complete different sport, you know, it would be like, you know, you need to improvise with precision. And it's, although it's a car with four wheels, the principle of how NASCAR operates and how the car drives is completely different than anything else I drove. And mainly the fact that there was no information coming from the car that made the learning curve very difficult.
Right, exactly. When you look back at your career, and again, you know, talking about your versatility and being in so many different series, when you sit down and, you know, go back through your career, through your personal memory bank, what's the one, two, three, whatever, best moments, most successful moments, you know, the highlights of your career? What do you feel is the highlight of your career?
It's a good question, because I don't seldom sit down and look at the past. I look at my future. Mm-hmm. And the past is something that I am happy about. It, you know, I would say that definitely coming over to the United States, being able to compete in Daytona the first year in 96, winning an IndyCar was a huge achievement. Mm-hmm. Winning a championship for Chip Ganassi Racing was great. Racing at Le Mans for Corvette Racing was a huge step in my career. And IROC. Mm-hmm. You know, racing in Iraq was a great honor. So all of them, all of the above, and obviously being the European NASCAR, the European driver with most NASCAR starts in the history, that's something right. That prized me a lot.
You know, before we started recording, you talked off air about your sons, and I wanted to ask you about Marco and Mateo, and you said they're basketball players. They're not. They probably won't be race car drivers. I mean, tell me about why they like basketball more than racing, if you will.
It's like asking me, why did I like racing? I let my children choose what fits the best for them. Mm-hmm. And I'm not one of those parents that tell them, you got to do this, you got to do that. I let them experience whatever they want. My father never told me that I had to be a race car driver. You know, I went through the challenges. I made it. I guess I was the only real sport that I was good at. My oldest son, Marco, has the exact same passion that I have for racing, for competing. He has it for basketball. Mm-hmm. And so, never say ever, you know, there might be another Max, another Pappas in racing, but I see myself buying an NBA ticket before buying a ticket to go to an Indy 500.
I like that. You know, looking at, where you're at right now in your career, you know, you're still active as a driver, like you said, you know, the company, the business. Where do you see yourself, let's say, 10 years from now? I mean, it's pretty much still doing the same thing. I mean, will you ever, step away from the wheel, behind the wheel permanently? Or, you know, obviously you want to make the business grow even bigger and so successful already and get more successful. Where do you see yourself in about 10 years from now?
I see myself fishing.
Fishing? Oh, you got to tell me this. I got to hear this story. Come on.
No, you know, what I'm saying, you know, honestly, it's difficult to predict the future. You know, like what I know that I still have tremendous amount of energy, you know, and I'm going to lay it into my everyday, you know, activity that I do, whatever that will take. You know, I'm not planning to to work until I'm 90 years old. Mm-hmm. So I have a lot of interest in a lot of different things. So like, as of today, I'm looking at the opportunity that I have in front of me and making the best out of them. And whatever that means, whatever that will take me in the next 4 or 5 years, we will see.
You know, a couple more questions, Max. You've been very generous with your time. So I just got a couple more questions. This is a question you may have never been asked before. You know, because racing has been your life all through your career. If you hadn't got into racing, what do you think you might have gone into? What kind of a profession do you think you would have done?
I'm an extremely competitive person. So most likely, I don't know, because I always thought about racing. Mm-hmm. You know, like whatever else I would have done, I would have done it with the same emphasis. Like I would have never thought I would have been a business owner. Now I am. Mm-hmm. So something that I always enjoyed is working on working on the outdoor.
Mm-hmm. Right. I talked to Chip. I'm sorry.
That's something that maybe I might have seen myself running some sort of business related to the outdoors.
Gotcha. I talked to Chip not too long ago, and we talked about different drivers. And I asked him about Max Pappas. And the one word Chip said about you, and I find this so refreshing the way he said it, he said the word that he best describes you at is passion. You are so passionate about everything you do, you know, be it as a race car driver, as a businessman. You know, when somebody says that, you know, passion defines you, that's got to be pretty humbling to hear that somebody, you know, especially somebody like Chip, who's been, you know, a friend of yours for such a long time. You've raced for him, you won a championship for him. When he says that, you know, passion is the thing that he thinks of first when he thinks of you, that's got to be pretty humbling, I would imagine.
That's a huge thing for me. You know, when I hear, obviously in life, if you go in life without passion, you're just a passenger. And I don't have passion for everything, but I definitely have passion that motivates me. It's glad to see that someone that I respect a lot, like Chip, you know, sees that in me. And that's what I see in him as well. You know, you're driven by pursuit of excellence in everything you do. And that's how I look at it in me.
Any final thoughts about you, your career, maybe a questions we haven't covered that you feel would be important that, you know, the listeners, you know, would definitely enjoy hearing them. Anything that I haven't asked you about that you feel that you'd want to mention, you know, at this point?
I mean, I think that people always ask about who, me, and sometimes it's nice to talk about, you know, the most important part that is my family, mm-hmm. you know. Is the fact that I have two beautiful children. You know, Tatiana, my wife, she's working with, I'm working with her here in MPI. And those are the things that they are really what create who I am. You know, yeah. The rest is an accessory, you know, like racing as well is just an accessory towards what I'm doing. So my biggest goals and biggest achievement are my family and who I am for them. So to me, I think that's what speaks about myself more than anything else. And I'm proud to have created and to have, you know, to have a family to grow. And this is, if you ask me, what's your biggest accomplishment and what's your biggest goal? To me, that's the one. My life bigger than any racing.
Very well said,
Jerry. I appreciate, and you know, as a last thing, as you mentioned before, I was thinking about it. You know, one of the things that I always like to say is all the race fans and all the people that have been supporting my career, like you, mm-hmm. I'm extremely grateful to even have the opportunity to be able to have sparked your interest in me, and I like to look at the opportunity that I had in life like a God gift, and making the best out of it. So I'm the perfect example that with determination, will, and good planning, things can happen. So I'm grateful, and I want to thank every single race fans that ever came to me, you know, and even the future one that there will be. I appreciate you guys. Your passion is the passion that drives me every day to do better, to be better, and to be myself. So grateful for all the love that I feel every day when I'm around, when I'm on the track, when I'm talking to you. So thank you.
And like Chip said, there's that word, passion, exactly. So Max, again, thank you ever so much for taking the time. I appreciate it, and continue success with everything. And we'll be talking to you soon down the road then, okay? Take care, Max.
Awesome. Larry, thank you. Appreciate you. Mm-hmm. Have a good day.
You too.
All right, there you have it. Our interview with Max Pappas right here on the Racing Beat. We've got a lot more shows coming up here in the next few weeks, so definitely stay tuned. And I think you're really going to enjoy some of the guests we have lined up. Not going to spill the beans, but we've got a couple of big ones really coming up soon. So, again, thanks ever so much for listening to the Racing Beat podcast, and we look forward to you hearing more right here on the Believe Podcast Network. Take care, everyone.